I'm going to go ahead and open up with prayer. Father, we just thank you for calling us your children, Lord, that first and foremost, Lord, we are your daughters, Father, and how you are training us up, Lord, that we can train up our children coming up behind us. And so, Lord, I just pray that our time together today would be encouraging, Lord, for all the ladies, that they would just walk away with an aha moment from your Holy Spirit. Lord, you are the great teacher, Lord, and truly you are the one that we learn from. And so I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would have your way, Lord, in this workshop today. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, most of you probably at one time or another might have met me. I'm going to start off by saying my daughter is doing worship today. And her very first retreat, it was so funny as I was thinking back and looking back on time, she was 4 months old. So she has probably been to a retreat before any of you all. But she came to a Calvary Chapel Dallas Plano retreat when she was 4 months old because I was nursing her. So I can say she grew up in retreats. I'm married to Steve. Whoops. Uh-oh. Sorry. They're going to be like... Goes to... And I'm going to know it's still moving, so hopefully it's on, and they'll be like, wow, what, you know, I didn't slam the Bible down or anything. Just to kind of know who you are, as I talk about being a mom, because I've been a mom for a very long time. My husband and I have been married for 27, almost 28 years, and he pastors a church here in Denton, so this is home for us. I could even probably, you know, run home maybe, you know, if I was a jogger, from where we're here. But we have 7 kids. My oldest is 24, married with 2 little girls that are precious, and then Lydia, who you met today, and then I have 5 boys. And I always say, Laura and I really have boys the same age. I have a 20-year-old, one who'll be 16 in a month, and a 16, 14, and then a 9-year-old. So we're very close, having boys the exact same age. So that's pretty cool. One of the things that as I was preparing and planning just to share about prayer with y'all today, I know that the Lord is going to really minister to you guys through this conference and this retreat, that it's going to be the Holy Spirit that leaves a lasting imprint. I bet, if anything, one of the things today, as Cindy was sharing, my husband, I'm a realtor also besides being a mom, and one of the things we do is we kind of buy investment properties when the Lord allows that, and so he's always Mr. Fix-It. And the other day, he had to put in a light switch at a house, but it has a dimmer switch, and I loved how she was talking. Maybe the Holy Spirit spoke to me. Because, you know, the Holy Spirit speaks so different ways. This, I'm going to give Debbie credit. If everybody did your devotional last night, talking about how we shine the light and carrying it forth with obedience, that is when we are obeying him, that dimmer light is really on high. And when we're not being obedient, that's when our light is low. And so we just want to say, Lord, we want to obey you, and we want our light shining bright for you. So I'm going to talk about moms in prayer. And one of the scripture that I referenced earlier when I was introducing, talking about a mom praying, was from James 5:16. And I'm going to just paraphrase that for you again. A persistent prayer of a righteous mom prevails much. And I want to give you a new acronym today for the word moms. Moms that are praying, and that's all of you here in this room. And so if you remember M, marvelous, O, opportunity for, M, miracles, as we S, seek him. So we are moms who seek the Lord, and he's going to answer us in beautiful miracles. We're going to be in the book of James a little bit, and I'm going to go ahead and turn there right now. What did I, 5:16, got to turn to James 5. If you have your Bible, a few of the ladies today were like, I forgot to bring my Bible. But I bet it's hidden in their hearts too. So these are going to be scriptures. James 5. So one of the things we're going to focus on the workshop is about praying for our children. In some cases, even our grandchildren, as I shared, I have 2 grandchildren. Some of our kids are sick with cancer. Okay, I learned my lesson. I'm not going to put it up there. Sorry, y'all, for that distraction. Hopefully, I won't be as distracting again. Some of our kids are sick with sin and suffering destruction in their lives, and some are wandering away from the absolute truth, which is Jesus, and some are just getting a little bit lost, and then some are doing awesome and walking the way in the way and in the light and the truth. But we are to be praying and interceding for every area where they are at this moment. We are to pray for their healing, for their deliverance, and for their return to truth. Return to Jesus, who is the way, the life, and the truth. And we're to pray for them to walk in faithfulness with the Lord's word raining down into the fabric of their lives, his water seeping down into the soil of their heart, just like Cindy said earlier. I'm going to read James 5, 13 through 20. Is any one among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray for him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man or mom avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Are any of us suffering? I think in some way all of us can say yes to this. We are suffering because we live in this dark and evil world. Yet it breaks our heart, doesn't it? So what should we do about that? Of course, we should pray. How should we pray? We should pray with faith, not doubting. Pray with truth and transparency, with humility, confessing our faults and sins, just as we've been reading through this passage. Our need for him, we should pray effectively, earnestly, fervently. We should pray without ceasing. The fervent prayer of a righteous mom avails much. How do we pray effectively? It means that we don't give up. We pray until we see the effect of our praying. If we don't quit, we win. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. That's in Galatians. It is always good to pray. We are to pray everywhere in all situations, continually, steadfastly, without ceasing. We might be in a restaurant or a car wash. We could be in the grocery store line. We can pray anywhere and everywhere. We can also pray in our closet. You know, that's, of course, scriptural, but we can pray in our car. We have access to the Lord, and he hears us, and we are to be praying without ceasing. We are to never stop praying. Can our prayers be hindered? In James, it says that it can. In James 4:3, it says, you ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. Also, our prayers can be hindered because we are not praying in faith. James 5:15 says, the prayer of faith is what is effective and sees results. And I'm going to be talking more about this later, but as a mom, I think sometimes we start praying, and we pray because we see an issue or we see a problem. And so then we're sometimes starting that prayer out of fear. And the Lord wants to turn that around and say, wait a minute, I want you to pray in faith. You might see an issue. You might have a young person. I've had so many different, my kids at different seasons of life. You think, oh, they're doing great. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh my goodness, I didn't know they were struggling with this or struggling with that. you don't know, I'm looking around in the room to see if you know any of my kids, if the story gets back to them or not, but I have a young man who loves the, all of my children are walking in the truth, and I'm very grateful to say that. But as you go along, you're just, little bumps in the road can happen, and those are really calls to prayer. And so just this past last week, my 20-year-old son, who was in between looking for work, he was going to college, but he was working at Amazon, and he was going to look for different work. Well, he came home, and he had to sit on the couch and confess to his dad. He says, well, Dad, they want me to come in tomorrow and take a drug test, but I can't take that because I was at a friend's house yesterday who is, I guess, ADD, and I'm having prescription medication called Adderall, and it'll show up in my system. And, you know, and I'm just like, I was floored in the sense of, my kids know better, you know, they're raised in the truth. And why would they even kind of be tempted to walk in into those areas that are going to cause destruction in their life, truly? And so, but it was a moment of growing for him, first of all, to confess his sin, and then to have to call into the workplace and say, hey, I need to, I got some things going. Can I wait till my, you know, can I come in a few days to take that, you know, test? And, so we learn from these things, and sometimes then we start praying out of fear. Oh, Lord, keep them away from those friends that aren't walking with you. And but instead, we turn it around and we say, we want to pray in faith. Lord, I know that you've called my son to walk in righteousness. God, help him through this valley right now, that he would see clearly that, you know, it really does pay attention to the friends that he's hanging out with, that it will affect his attitude in his life. And we just want to flip our prayers so that we're not pleading with God out of fear of, oh no, my kids are going to fail. But yet we're calling on the name of the Lord, standing in the truth, knowing that the Lord loves us. He loves our children, and he is going to work these things out for their good. That was woven through our little skit today, which I loved hearing. So we are to, one of the things that scripture, Philippians 4, 6 and 7, instead of praying in fear or anxiousness, no, we are supposed to pray in faith and power. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So the Lord does not want us praying the fearful and anxious prayers that I just spoke about over and over. No, instead the Lord says, fear not, right? Doesn't he say that so many times to us as followers? Even the followers that were as close as his disciples sitting next to him, resting on his heart, he still had to tell them, fear not. We can be walking with the Lord and giving him our all, and yet fear will try to creep in, and especially as moms with our kids. And instead we have to say, no, I am not going to fear. I'm going to walk in faith. God has my back. God has my children's back, and he's going to give them the victory. You might say, I don't know how to pray for my children without fearing the future for them, but we might be lacking wisdom. So what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to go to the Lord. The beginning of James tells us and says to ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. But let him ask in faith. You might even have to start your prayer by saying, Lord, give me faith of how to pray for my children, so that you can pray with faith and that your prayers would bless your children all the days of their life. I'm sure that even though we have read the story, y'all have read the story in the Bible about the prodigal son, right? And it doesn't mention anything. It mentions about our beautiful Heavenly Father, and he throws, you know, his robe on him and puts a ring on his hand. But I bet you Mama was at home praying for that boy as he was out. And so these are just beautiful pictures of in the Bible that we are to pray for our children. And I know that there was prayer going on for that prodigal child. We are to be relentless and praying fervently, effectively. And that effective, of course, is meaning until we see something happen. We are to train up our children in the way they should go. You know, training is hard. Some of you train for marathons. I know one of the pastor's wife, Marilyn, trained for running a marathon. I'm not there. I don't train in that way. But years and years ago, I trained. I was on the swim team in high school. And you would swim 2 hours a day. You know, there's training in that. And so when it talks about training up our children, this is a work that we have to be relentless about. And part of that training is praying and asking the Lord, Lord, how am I supposed to reach the heart of this child? How do you want to train this child? Because each of us are individually fashioned before the Lord, and we all have our strengths and weaknesses. As I look out over this beautiful room, and I see all these different ones that the Lord knows intimately, and where we have Jesus, so there's the same in the sense, we're all the same. We're like, hey, I know you, you know me, we're the same. And yet we're very different because God loves individuality. So asking the Lord, Lord, how am I supposed to pray individually for my child? You know, I mentioned I have seven children, and every single one of them, you could meet one and they're like, well, that's not like Lydia. Or you meet Stephen and go, that's not like Justin, you know. So God knows how to reach each of our children. And so he just wants us to be praying and pressing in so that we can train up our kids in the way that they should go. And we can't train them effectively unless we are pressing in to Jesus. We want to press into his presence. We want to press into the church. We need each other. You know, she talked about we need to hold fast our confession. And I love how Cindy brought that up today. You know, we read the word hold fast and our spirit man gets all excited. Well, what does that mean, hold fast? But it really means that it has to mean something to you. It has to be precious to you. You have to say, I'm not letting this go. I'm going to stand firm. I'm going to hold fast to the word and to my confession that my children are going to walk with Jesus. You know, our children are, of course, watching us. They see our every move. You know, sometimes you think that my husband is a pastor, so he gets to preach every Sunday. And you'd think that your kids would remember what he preached, the sermon, you know, from the pulpit. But no, they remember what Dad said in the car coming home from that sermon. You know, was it encouraging to them? Was it uplifting? And are we training them in the ways of righteousness? We always want to build up our kids. One of the things in Ephesians, when it talks about, you know, children, obey your parents, for they're going to have a long life. And so we always tell our kids that, you know, obey your mom and dad, right? O-B-E-Y. Obey your mom and dad. Some of the young moms remember that song, you know, from VBS. But yet then there's another verse that says fathers, and I can say mothers, don't exasperate your children. Don't have them lose heart. Don't be harping on them in the sense of where they just said, you know what, I give up. But instead we are to be praying for them. You know, yes, we want to speak into their lives, speak truth into their life, but we want to be praying for them just as much as we're speaking over them and in them. I apologize, guys. I took a sinus medication, and so now I'm like, I can't talk. So we want to live by faith before our children, because the Lord is coming back, and we want to live in that way, that there is hope, guys. Everybody around us, it's a dark world, but you know, our greatest hope is that he is going to return, and his feet are going to hit the Mount of Olives, and we really do, I'm excited to look forward to that day, and we want our children to be lights as that day approaches, not to grow dimmer, you know, not to say, oh, well, it's okay, the other Christians are doing this, and we can turn down our dimmer a little bit, but the Lord wants us all the way up high, shining brightly, walking in the Word, holding fast the Word, and part of that is really praying for our children to understand what is being taught. You know, we can all be in this room today, and I'm sharing about prayer and bringing in some other things. But as you leave, some person might say, well, I don't know, she just talked about kids all the time. I'm not sure. I didn't hear prayer. And somebody else might say, well, yeah, I heard about holding fast. And, you know, I mean, we're going to hear different things. But we want the Holy Spirit to open up our children's heart, our children's understanding, and open up the light of their heart so that they can grasp it and they'll go deep in their heart. I want to share with you what I learned to call a push prayer back in the day when my kids were very young. And it really impacted me at that time. And I already mentioned about being praying effectively, right? Well, PUSH is another acronym. And the acronym stands for praying, P, until you something, S, H happens. Okay. And we know that we cannot push God, because God is unchanging. There is no shadow of turning in the Lord. But we can have push prayers, and those prayers are those that are earnestly praying until something happens. Persistent prayer. So, you know, persistent prayer pleases the heart of God. God is not frustrated when you're like, she's praying about the same thing. She's been praying for this for 10 years, or she's been praying for this for 6 months. The Lord is, he wants us to pray, and he wants us to have those prayers that saying, Lord, I'm going to pray until I see your hand move. And I don't, he wants us to be praying push prayers. And so I just want to encourage you with that. There was a mom in the Old Testament, and as I talk about her, you're going to be like, oh, I know her, you know. But there was a mom in the Old Testament who was very good at push prayers. And every year she went to the house of God, and she prayed the same thing. She prayed so earnestly that the priest, of course, thought that she was drunk. And yet, no, she wasn't. She just said, Lord, I am going to seek your face until I see my prayer answered. And of course, that prayer was for a baby, right? And God was so good to Hannah that he gave her a baby, Samuel, who later Samuel then was the prophet who anointed King David. And so that prayer of that righteous mom, she got to pray for, you know, her son prayed for the King David, which brought in that line of the tribe of Judah, right? And so what a marvelous, we don't know when we're praying, what impact will our prayers have on our children? Just because I see this beautiful baby out there, one of the things that I just want to encourage you, if you are a young mom, my youngest is 9, how I shared earlier, so sometimes the toddler days and the busy days of diapers and things are not there for me right now, except I have my granddaughters almost living with me almost every day. It seems like my daughter comes and says, can I hang out with you, Mom? And then, you know, so I kind of have to toddlerize the house again. But, you know, when we're having those little ones in our arms and we're feeding them or nursing them, that is such a perfect opportunity to pray blessing over their future and to pray. And then, of course, as I'm sharing, I'm going to make an impact at how important it is for us to be journaling our prayers. Some of the things today that I'm saying, you won't remember tomorrow. Be like, no, I can't remember anything from that workshop. But if something is written down, you might be a week later in your Bible and you'll be saying, oh, wow, yeah, the Lord says the prayer of a righteous man, you know, avails much. It's because it was written down. Of course, the word is there for us. But when you're taking notes or when you're praying, if you will make a note of that, because you're going to see the Lord answer. And sometimes we said praying until something happens. That something happens can be years later. Hannah had been praying for years. And another push prayer that we see in the Word of God is a Paul prayer. Apostle Paul prayed until something happened. It wasn't what he was hoping would happen, right? But the Lord said to him, my grace is sufficient for you. So then did he keep praying and saying, Lord, I want out? No, he had his answer. Something happened. God spoke to him in that, over that issue and over that area. And so even as we're praying push prayers and we're praying for something that we believe is God's intention and God's will for our children, when we hear from the Lord, then we have the answer. Another push prayer in the Bible, we all know about the widow who went to a relentless widow, right? We're to be relentless in prayer. And she went to the righteous judge, and he answered her with provision, just because it said she's not going to give up. And so that's really a picture for us. We think, well, that's not a really great story. You know, God is holding back. And it's like, no, God wants us to keep seeking, to keep knocking. It's part of his plan for us. And as we keep persevering, because it's showing, Lord, I lack. I don't have what I need. I need you. And so he wants us to come over and over and always. There's never a time that we should stop praying. We are... all of us, and I said, we are all in need, right? We are all lacking something. We need to pray until he completes us, and that's when we see him face to face. Or if something is missing in our children, until we see that work of the Lord that God has done. So we want to have those persistent prayers, praying until we see that miracle that we needed, that the Lord has answered. Some prayers I have been praying for years now. And it's so funny. I feel young. Probably all of us sitting here say, you know, I feel young because my spirit man is young, right? Really, we're young compared to eternity. Once we have Jesus in our heart, who is eternal life, you know, we get to live forever. And so sometimes we're like, when, oh, I'm going to be 50 in a couple weeks. I'm like, no, I'm 27, you know, right? And so we don't, our spirit man does not age, yet, you know, the tent around us is fading. So sometimes I think, wow, I've been praying for that. Oh my goodness, Lord, that was 21 years ago, and now I'm seeing your fulfillment right now. And so we do need to write down, we need to journal, because we will forget. Even though we feel young, we will forget. And so I just want to encourage you guys, even this weekend, if you've, I know with Calvary, we are very good about saying, let's have prayer journals. I mean, one of the first retreats that I ever went to, Denise had one of these little notebook things about the ABC. Anyway, journaling prayers through the Bible with the alphabet. So there's just so many different ways to journal. And so probably all of you have some form of journaling or notebook. And so I just want to encourage you, if you've kind of let it go, to pick it back up, go get another notebook if that's what it takes. But we want to keep track of what God is doing in our life. And we're able to do that, I think, more clearly as we look back and say, wow, thank you, Lord, you've done that. There was a purpose when the Lord had the Israelites put those stones to remember. We do need something to remind us. Otherwise, we just kind of go on and we forget the good things of the Lord. And so that just helps us remember that the Lord answers our prayers, and then we have a testimony to give because we've remembered, and so we have something good to share. Do you know that there is a whole letter in the Bible to a righteous mom and her children? You Bible scholars out there already know that, yes, it's the book of 2 John. And when you open that, it says to the elect lady and her children. And so all of you know, right, that you guys are elect, meaning God has chosen you because you've said yes to the Lord. So all of you are elect ladies in this room. And so the word of God is for us and for our children. And we really want to pray the word over our kids. And we want to pray the word in faith. I love how the Holy Spirit sometimes will be reading something and he just highlights different portions that speaks to the area that we're to pray for our children. And I love when we're praying and the Holy Spirit has us pray verses over our kids. So I also want to encourage you, we believe in laying on hands in our family. I talked about one of my kids. I was also a homeschool mom many moons ago for about 16 years. I did that for quite a while until the Lord opened up charter school for my kids. And so my youngest is never homeschooled. Sometimes he feels like he's left out and he's like, Mom, can I come homeschool? And then he thinks about it, I guess, well, no, never mind. You know, it's like, I want to go with where I'm at. But one of the things that we did and just to kind of give a testimony of how powerful prayers are. I had a child who was struggling at the time. He was 7. It started back different times that you know that there is an area that needs a lot of prayer. Sometimes you pray and God answers a portion of it, but then you need to keep praying. And so at the time, one of my older boys was little and he was 4 years old, and he would speak where no one could understand him, right? You met a child like that and be like, I want to go catch what had the child, you know, and they'd be like, oh, I want to go play with the truck outside. Nobody else could understand, right? But we could kind of, you know, but I was concerned because I knew that it had to do with, you know, his verbal ability and then looking at letters and different things. And my heart was very fearful and, you know, went back to a birth situation for him and things. And you kind of feel like, oh, it's my fault. You know, lack of oxygen, whatever it is. You know, the enemy comes in and he just tries to say, well, that's the way it's going to be because that's, you know, this happened and that. And so this is what you have to look forward to. But I remember being at a conference in Tucson, Arizona, and I love afterglow times. You know, we're going to have one sometime this weekend. And it's a real sweet time of just really waiting on the Lord. And he always moves differently. It's never the same, right? We've been going to, at our church, we call them bodybuilders because my husband decided to call it that because it's body ministry. And not many people from our church came out of Calvary. So they didn't know afterglow, after the message, oh, we want the, you know, to glow, you know, so we just called it bodybuilder. So anyway, we were at a afterglow meeting in Tucson and just waiting before the Lord. And I was kind of just, my heart was concerned about Justin and praying. And all of a sudden, Pastor Mike McIntosh, there was guys up on the stage as the afterglow. And he came up to the mic and he just said, you know, I feel like there's someone out there, a mom or however wording, you know, the wording, but he said that is concerned for their son. And the Lord says, it's okay, I've got it. And an arrow just shot my heart. And I said, yes, Lord, that's for me. And so when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, we have to receive that word. And so as we're praying for our children and waiting to see God's hand, the Lord sometimes is going to have a miracle that we have to hold on to by faith and say, yes, that's for me. And so, you know, years go on, kind of still struggling. But one of the things that I really believe is, like I said, laying on of hands. And so Steve and I would just put our hands on our son's head and pray, Lord, open up his understanding, give him wisdom from your heart to be able to understand. One of the beautiful things that we've kind of have as a tradition in our home, and it started before our kids were teenagers, so I don't know what I was thinking, right? You know, when you have all little kids and you kind of have grand ideas and then, you know, you implement them. And if you implement them for one, you got to do it for the rest. Or they're like, well, I didn't get that, you know? So we have a special ceremony when our children turn 13 on their 13th birthday. We make it like a church service and they get to choose. It's really, they're giving a statement of faith and they're saying, you know, who will I serve? You know, it says, choose this day who I will serve. And they're kind of putting a stake in the ground and saying, what I want to serve the Lord. So it's kind of like that transitioning time for our children to say, I'm going to walk with the Lord. And, you know, we give them a purity ring and just talk to them in that sense of saying your life belongs to the Lord. And the choices you make are going to open doors and close doors. And so each of them get to do something, right? And so like my oldest daughter, Rachel, because she's a worshiper, she gave her testimony, and it goes along with what I'm going to share. She was able to share her testimony, and I'm just going to I'm going to backtrack for just a moment, okay? One of the other things, not only having a 13-year birthday celebration for our kids and making it a special moment in time for them that hopefully they will remember, you know, as they go on, is that we have prayed for the Holy Spirit to come into their life and for them to be baptized in the Holy Spirit at a young age or while they're at home, so that we can see them truly taking on the fullness of God for themselves. And I just want to encourage all of you that if you have not pursued the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if for one reason, maybe not understanding it or saying, well, you know, I don't think I really need that because it just seems a little bit too much for me, you know, too deep, as the last retreat was talking about, you know, going deeper still, right? But what I've noticed is that so that has been our prayer for our children. And so Rachel was the very first one to turn 13. Sorry guys, if I get rambling, cause I went off notes. Yeah, I'm still good. I'll get you out of here real early. You only got like 10 more minutes. But when, Rachel, our firstborn daughter took more after her dad. And if you had ever met her when she was young, she was very, kind of intellectual, very bright, the firstborn, of course, is bossy, right? And, but shy also outside the home, just kind of timid and shy. And, you know, she wouldn't really speak about her faith to others, even though she loved the Lord with all her heart. And she had the opportunity to go with Steve out to a missions conference. This was about 2 weeks before her 13th birthday. So we had already planned what we were going to do for her. We had rented a place. We had people in our church. Only in Texas do you have a buffalo ranch, right? Well, in Denton, the Bodark Ranch, and now is a buffalo ranch, but they had a beautiful setting, and they were at our church. So we had her 13th birthday party at the buffalo ranch. And it was so precious because how Cindy mentioned yesterday, when you're praying to the Father to have a chair right next to you, you know, to know that Jesus is there with you, right? Well, at the table setting, the friends had set the table with Rachel, with China. And it was a real neat time, special occasion, right? But they had a table setting and it had Jesus' nameplate. So there was a place, Jesus is here and he's the guest that matters, you know? But anyway, 2 weeks before her 13th birthday, she went with Steve out to California, and they were having a missions conference out at the Calvary Chapel Bible College Retreat Center. And what a beautiful opportunity, for her to go with her dad. I always say she was on the worship team at 9 because back in the day we would do worship and we'd have worship slides, you know, where you have to change the slides out on the projection, and her job was changing the slides. So she would always say, well, I'm on the worship team because I'm changing slides out, you know? And so she went to the missions conference, and I went to the airport to pick them up, and we were on the East Coast at the time, we're visiting family, and it was like 1 o'clock in the morning, and it was in Virginia, and they get off the plane, and of course, this is a long time ago, this is over 10 years ago, so before any kind of, you could be there. Anyway, security was not like it is now, right? Because of the life that we live in. But they come off the plane. I see Steve, happy to see him. You know, it's only been a week. And then Rachel comes off the plane, and I'm like, something's different. And I'm just walking off the plane. I'm like, she's only got a week. You know, what's different? No, she had her braces already. You know, I'm like, I'm just trying to figure out what is different about my daughter. I can just visibly see a change. And we go and get in the van, and my husband says, Rachel, do you want to tell Mom what happened to you at the conference? And she goes, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I was like, That's it. That was what changed. And literally for her life, that power of the work of the Holy Spirit in her life took away her timidity. She was no longer timid. She could even get up in front of, you know, doing worship and pray out loud and speak, you know, as whatever the Holy Spirit. She could be at the gas station and not be afraid to share. Oh, yeah, I love the Lord. Do you know him? You know, so there was a night and day for her. That was the change. And there's always going to be a change in her life because it's a work of power. And so that's why we've prayed for our children. That is one of our push prayers. And as I'm going to go on and talk about testimony, the joke in our family when we talk about this is we want to have powerful dudes, right? We want to have dudes with power. And where that comes from, y'all know the old English, when we do the King James Version, Jesus said to his disciples, right? He said, wait until you are a dude with power. Okay, some of you got it. Okay, so I know that means a dude, you know, like he's going to come down and give, you know, give us that power. But so our California quote is, hey, a dude with power. And so seriously, though, we want our children to be aware of the whole of God's presence. And we want their life to be powerful and effective. And part of that is being filled with the Holy Spirit. So we want to know that that they know the Lord intimately. And that's just part of the process. So God has been answering my push prayer for my children. Out of the seven children, as I was writing my notes, I thought, you know, I've heard testimony and seen different from my four oldest children. But then my son at the time, who was still 15, he was like a week away from turning 16, a week away from getting his driver's license. And so I was, in fact, driving him around in the car, just he and I. And I thought, has he been filled with the Holy Spirit? I know he prays prayers that are specific and powerful. One of the ministries that my kids were doing for a little bit, I was sharing with Kathy, we had a prayer ministry on Thursday night that just prayed for Israel in the sense of worship and prayer. And the focus was praying for Israel, encapsulated with worship. And so my kids, they'd have open mic and people would have come up and pray for Israel. And I just remember Austin praying and I'm thinking, I think he's filled with Holy Spirit, but I want to find out his own testimony, you know? So I was in the car and I just said, Austin, I said, have you been filled with the Holy Spirit yet? And he said, yes. And I said, oh, okay. How did that, you know, when did that happen to you? When were you baptized in the Holy Spirit? And he said, it was at the Fine Arts Theater at a bodybuilders meeting. So when I say fine art, it was at an old theater. Our church used to meet at a very old theater, like 60 years old. We moved because the roof was falling in. It was during a bodybuilders and he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I said, oh, so I just stopped and I said, well, how do you know what happened in your life? What was the change or the effect that that experience had for you? And he's one of my guys that has more few words. He's a very, by nature, he likes things just so, perfectionist and all that. But he just said awareness. He said, I'm more aware of what the Lord is doing. And so it just really spoke to my heart. So I just want to encourage all of you guys, as you pray for your children, pray for them to have that fullness of God and whatever that entails for their life. Because now once they have claimed Jesus for their own and they have been, you know, flooded with the work of the Spirit in their life. So it's like when they leave home, it's like, Lord, I know that they belong to you. They've said I belong to you. This is who I'm going to serve. And so, yes, whatever the bumps are in different things, they've truly made that commitment that we can see. So I just want to really encourage you guys to pray for your kids, for them to have the fullness of God. It's not enough for them to go to church, and it's not enough for you just to pray and say, oh, Jesus, watch over them and keep them in perfect peace. Until, you know, we need to pray for our children, but then to give areas where, Lord, what do they need to experience from you? And that's one of the things that I've also prayed as a push prayer. God, my children might not get everything that they need at the moment from our church or our fellowship. When you plant a church, sometimes you go through seasons of being small and growth and change. And yet you want them to have every experience that is needed. I also know there's grace. God puts you where you're at. And so when he called us, he also gave that grace for our children. And so he's going to provide what is needed. But it's been so neat how the Lord has opened up doors for them to go to different like camps. As you know, my girls went Bible college and different things that they've been able to go to that the Lord has highlighted in their life, lasting work. And so pray that your children are going to have the experiences that are going to bring about God's fullness in their life too. So as I finish up the workshop, I wanted to end with this verse. It's either in Colossians or Philippians, and you can find it yourself so you can know if I misquoted it. I didn't jot it down, but we are to pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. And I'm going to paraphrase, pray for all your kids and grandkids that they will be saints. So that we want our children to, all of our kids, right? We want them to be children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation, that they will shine among them like the stars in the sky. And I want all of your children to shine for Jesus. And I want my children to shine for Jesus. So I just want to encourage you guys to be moms of prayer, to journal your prayers, to ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, I don't know how to pray. How should I pray for my children? He will give you generously. He's not a stingy God. He's a God of fullness. He's a God of great love. And as you say, Lord, what does my child need right now? You know, I gave you that one testimony of one of my kids to kind of make you aware. There are things that are going on in our children's life that are going to be hidden from us. We are not going to know them unless they come and confess or bring it to us and say this. One of the things that I have prayed since my children have been very young, and it has been powerful, and I've seen it happen. Sometimes you're like, okay, should I have prayed this? But yes, I should. I said, Lord, what is hidden in darkness and needs to be brought to the light? Will you bring it to the light for us to be able to come and know how to pray, and then to know how to seek out healing and forgiveness? And the Lord has been faithful with that. I have one child, and I even asked my husband on the phone, a different child. I'm not going to say his name because I know someday you will meet all my children, and then you'll be like, oh yeah, you're the one who steals, and you're the one that, you know does this and that and all that kind of stuff. But working with his heart, I said, honey, have you had a chance to talk to him? He has a tendency, and I'm going to share this with you. So as we walk with our kids, we're going to see their strengths and weaknesses, right? All of us know we always praise up their strengths because we're like, woohoo, they love Jesus, they can sing, and they're doing good. We don't talk about their weaknesses, hopefully. We want to pray for them, right? We want to pray for their weaknesses and know that the Lord can be strong even in their weaknesses. But one of the things I wanted to share with that is we have a child who has a tendency to kind of be like Adam. You know, Adam would not take consequences for his sin. He would be like, oh, it wasn't me. You know, this wife you gave me, she's a problem. Well, my teenager's not married, so that's not the problem. But he'll be like, well, that really wasn't wrong. That wasn't really that bad. You know, it was only this. Or, you know, that's not, you know, he will not say, yes, I was wrong. Even when he is kind of, when I say caught in the act, he's the one when he was three. You know, you have a candy jar, and so you know you can't have candy, and so he went and got it and went behind the couch and opened up all the candy, ate it all, but left the wrappers there. So you get to see, you know, so you come. And so that's the thing, and that's what I've prayed. It's like he keeps getting into trouble. You know, I have been to the school because out of this charter school that we go to, it's a very beautiful charter school. Many Christians, the headmaster who started this school, the very first thing that he opened up a parent-teacher meeting with was, you know, I'm a Christian, and just encouraged faith to be in the church, in the school. And so I know I'm very blessed. It's like we have a Christian private school that I don't have to pay for. But one of the things about it being strict, of course, is I had to go up to the office, and I'm just telling you, my child had the most demerits in the school. And stack was like this, and you're like, but I'm supposed to be a good mommy. I'm supposed to be a righteous mom. I pray for my son, and he's got the stack that's the biggest. You know, Lord, where am I going wrong? And, you know, the Lord says, no, I want to work in this young man. And these things are being brought to the light so that as a mom, I can pray and say, Lord, make his, you know, have Sean, well, whatever, sorry, you guys, one of my boys, how am I? And if you knew him, he would tell you, he would kind of, you know, he is very bold, and but yet I want him to come to that place of being repentive. It's one thing to say, yeah, I know I did that, but I'm like, you know, it really wasn't bad. But I want him to have that place of where he says, oh man, Lord, not to be in perfect fellowship with you means everything. I'm sorry that I sinned. I'm sorry that I ate the candy. Not that I took mom and dad's candy, but I'm sorry that I displeased your heart. And so I want the Lord to capture his heart, because out of the heart, that's where all the issues are going to flow. So we can pray. You know, I mentioned my son saying, oh, I'm going to try this prescription med that my friend is taking. What? It's like, no, then there's an issue with the heart. And so then we kind of come back to saying, hey, you know, Justin, how you doing? Why? Let's come into church more. Who are you fellowshipping with? What's going on? Have you talked to the Lord lately? What is he speaking to you? So as we pray for our children, we just really want to pray for the Lord to capture their heart. And I want to encourage all of you guys to ask the Lord, what is a push prayer? What is a prayer for my child or my children or my grandchildren that I'm to pray for? I have an adorable little two-year-old granddaughter, and her name is Lydia. So it's the same, named after, you know, my daughter, Lydia, right? And she is, anybody that meets her is going to say, oh, she's a strong-willed one, you know? And I do encourage my daughter. I said, well, some of that strong will needs to be, the paddle can get, take care of some of that, right? And then some of that is who she is, who God has made her to be. But she's just really having some difficulties. And I was babysitting the other day, and I put her down for a nap, and I just laid my hands on her chest. And I just prayed for the Lord's protection. I felt like it was the enemy really causing her to become distraught and kind of not where she needed to be. And so, you know, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, but lay hands on your children. Lay hands on your grandchildren. Bless them in the name of Jesus. You know, one of the things that we want to be very, very careful to do is not to curse our children. And, you know, we always say, well, I never curse my kids. But see, what I just did, I shared my son's, you know, one of his areas that need work. In a sense, you know, I was cursing him. But I wanted to tell you a short story, because none of this is going on with you guys. I know it, because you guys are all coming to the Lord and he's healing your wounds. So you're not transferring them onto your kids, right? But I one day took the kids to the Fort Worth Zoo. I almost say San Diego Zoo. Isn't that funny? I've been to San Diego Zoo in like 20, how many? But I took the kids to the Fort Worth Zoo, and we had just went into the restroom to help them go potty, you know, and I was in the stall, a woman comes in next to me, and she is just literally berating a little child, like 3 or 4. I can't believe you wet your pants. You can't do anything right. I've told you again and again, you know, and literally even using foul language. I mean, I won't even speak the words that she spoke. And my heart, I just wanted to break down the door. I was still trying to help my little one and say, stop that. You know, never speak to your child in that way. I mean, that's, of course, I'm sure she didn't have the light of Jesus. Because when we have the light of the Lord and we're walking in that, when we open our mouth and go in the direction the Lord doesn't want us to, I really believe he's going to stop us. So we have to just really be in tune and say, Lord, and I'm sorry for saying that. And at times I've had to come to my kids and say, you know what? I'll just use one of my kids, Austin. I'm sorry that I spoke that to you. I know that you are trying to do better with your time and that you're going to make your bed. And I'm using a slight... I just want to make sure that you hear my heart is that we want to bless our children. We want to be cautious, not to unawares put curses on them by speaking over them the things that they need to grow in. And instead, we need to go to the Lord and pray in faith that those things would be changed, and then say, Lord, how can I bless my children verbally with my words? And you know, of course, pray out loud for them. Many times, we were walking through a situation and spiritual warfare, I believe it was at the time, but and I thought it all had to do with my one child at the time who was 16. And I'm like, doesn't he know he's causing all this in the house? It seemed like, right, to me. But he's the one, we had a family meeting, and he's the one that stood up and said, can I pray for you and Dad? I feel like there's something going on. I want to pray for him. I'm like, yeah, pray for us. Maybe my heart's not right, you know. And sure enough, he prayed for us, and then we were able to go around and pray for each of our kids. And so we are to be households of prayer. Not only, you know, praying mom, but our households, we're training them to go to the Lord and to pray. And we want to take every opportunity. So may the Lord bless you.